All right, so we are back actually. I had a hiccup, a technical difficulty, and my battery died actually in my camera. I forgot to charge it. So anyways, we're back live. If you can if this actually stream is working right now, and if it's actually continuing from my previous stream, if you guys can give a thumbs up. So I'll just continue actually. I was talking about, they're saying that there's a target audience of 100 million people in the US. But if you look back at my projections here, it's greater than 100 million users, right, in 5 years. So what's the point of this? Well, Square is actually an international company, right? They have services, I think, in Canada, Great Britain, Japan, Australia, etc. And so it's not just a US, right, operation, and they're international, and they're going to continue to grow internationally. So their target audience is actually a lot greater than what I'm giving them credit for, let's say in 2025. All right. So I want to talk about a couple risk factors, and that's the area and the issue of competitors. And a lot of people, I think they look at some numbers, and they can look at someone pumping or getting excited about a stock, right? Let's say on YouTube. And they get so excited, and they're like, "Oh, I gotta buy it!" But they don't. I don't think through all of the ramifications, all of the risk factors involved in a company like Square. And I think there are actually some very significant and detailed actually risk factors here. So, competitors. If you look at the landscape, you've got PayPal, and they have an app called Venmo, right? And Venmo is right on the heels of. Is right on the heels of Square. And if you look at what's going on with Venmo, they're actually copying. I won't say copy, I mean Square copies Venmo, Venmo copies Square, but they're basically, giving the same services, right? They're allowing people to do, debit cards and transactions to peer-to-peer, and to just trying to take on more and more of the bank's features. And so PayPal is an amazingly strong company, actually. They're making billions of dollars. They just reported earnings this past they just reported earnings, and they're actually, even in the midst of this COVID crisis, they're still actually really strong. The another thing is to consider with competitors is in China, you have like WeChat and a bunch of these players, Alipay, and they're actually combined with kind of the big social platforms. And so one of the issues is like, wait, what if Facebook kind of gets into the game, right? And gets into the game of, social payments, peer-to-peer, etc., and also banking functions, right? What happens in that case? And then there's also the case of like Apple, let's say, in Google, who are interested in payments, but maybe they've just been kind of slow. But they look at what's happening with Cash App and Venmo, and they're like, "Hey, we have to get into, the game here," and they can integrate it more with their OS and operating system. And so, Apple and Google is a big competitor as well, a potential. And then there's Amazon, which you'd think that Amazon is not going to get into payments, but Amazon is in almost everything else, right? And there's always, opportunity, right? And here's the thing with financial services, it's a trillion-dollar market, and there's this limited number of trillion-dollar markets, and these companies need to, extend their growth runway, and financial services is one of them. And so when you're looking at a company like Square, like, it's nothing is guaranteed, right? You can have projections, and those projections are just kind of like theoretical exercises, right? Because there's always execution risk. Can these companies grow at a certain pace and continue that growth? Can they grow their gross margins and monetization? And how do they compete against, right, the big boys of like finance? Like, not just how do they compete actually with, there's actually other companies like Zelle, right? The banks are coming together to form their own peer-to-peer services too. And so you have a bunch of competitors. And so the key kind of question mark, in my opinion, is kind of like, does the company, and in this case Square, does it have really a superior product, right? A far superior product than, right, its competitors. And what is that? Why is it superior? And according to Jack Dorsey and the team, they're saying, "Hey, Square, we've got the whole ecosystem, right? We've got the entire thing. We have a broader kind of a range of services. We're more ambitious in the scope of what we're trying to provide, right, to our sellers, but eventually also to our consumers in the Cash App." And so, does that whole kind of ecosystem approach, is that compelling enough? Does that really make them, right, the far superior product? Or is it something that others can just emulate and actually become even better or as good as Square? So that's kind of like the main question. And then from that question is like, can Square extend and continue that superiority, right? Product superiority over time, right? And that's the kind of, you know, can they extend their advantage and their leadership? So these are kind of, I think, two of the main questions that people, and myself included, need to answer regarding Square. And that's why for myself, in the past month, or actually, yeah, about a month ago, I took a exploratory position, right, into Square, decided I wanted to look into it. But I'm still answering these questions, and I'm still actually a newbie and a beginner kind of understanding the whole Square ecosystem and kind of the core business models. And I'm kind of sharing as I go along so you guys can have a benefit of how to think through kind of a new investment. All right, so one last news before, you know, we take a couple questions is that according to Ray for Tesla Twitter, he's saying that actually there's an article in a Chinese news publication, and it's saying that during May 1st Labor Day break, daily average sales in China exceed 1,000, right? I guess Model 3s, right, in China. And so that's actually pretty crazy because it's probably not a sustainable rate, I'm thinking, because a 1,000 per day, that's like a 365,000, right, order run rate for China for Model 3. That would just be insane. We do know that China reduced, right, the price of the Model 3 to meet some incentives, right? So I think it's a little under 42,000, but after incentives, it's a little under 39,000. I think that price kind of decrease really maybe helped increase demand and helped increase the order rate that's coming in. And that's what we see in China. All right. I'm going to go ahead and take some questions. Now, if you're wanting to ask a question, go ahead and put question in all caps and let me know your question and I'll go ahead and try to answer that. Otherwise, you know, it's hard to kind of read through all the comments quickly and pick out the questions. Martin says, check out the cohort analysis I linked to in your Twitter thread. I project 97 million users by the end of 2023. Yeah, 2023. So, I mean, we're talking about, we're still 2020. So we have half a year, 2021. 2022, 2023, so 3.5 years, right? 97 million users. You know, it's potential. It's, you know, that's a, it's really anyone's guess, right? When you talk about projections. And the reason why I think Cash App has some legs is because they're top 10 in the app stores. And I think people underestimate the power of the app stores. When you're in the top 10 across all categories, you're looking at millions of downloads per month. And this is just organic reach, right? This is just like the best type of marketing is free marketing in a way. And people underestimate like how much companies can grow just purely off of high ranking in the app stores. And it's incredibly difficult to get up there high in the app stores. But once you get up there with a superior, like a great product, the app stores can really take you a far, far way. And so, yeah, who knows what the exact number will be in 2023, but yeah, you work out the numbers that you want. Pat Flynn says, reached out to Square with a question regarding their Cash App, and they replied within 3 to 4 minutes, was really impressed. Yeah, so yeah, Cash App is great. Hey, Pat, I was thinking of actually inviting you to on an interview. Pat Flynn, he does a podcast called Passive Income Podcast. Great show, and I'd love to have him on to discuss income opportunities in this recession. All right, Dave, glad you're diving into Square for your viewers. Have you used Cash App personally? As an investor, how do you value your experience with the product service versus external trends? This is John. Yeah, so I first got kind of caught on to Cash App. In our local area in Southern California, there's a Facebook group with like 150,000 in just kind of a small city that I live in. And people were talking about kind of like how to send money and give money. And everyone was chiming in saying that basically they have Cash App or Venmo. So like, the entire like group was saying like they're either on Cash App and Venmo. I'm like, for me, it's like I don't even use that stuff, right? I barely even like have opportunities really to, right, to do peer-to-peer stuff. I just use PayPal, right, if I need to. But I was really surprised at how extensive, right, Cash App and Venmo have become. That was about a year ago or so, I think. And since then, I've been kind of just following kind of the trends and seeing kind of like what's going on. And I think by listening and looking into this stuff, I shared my first kind of dive into Square, I wasn't that impressed. And it wasn't really until I kind of, in this Q4 earnings, where they really highlighted that they're making $30, right, annual run rate per active user, and they have 24 million active users on Cash App, right? In February, right, of, I guess, 2020, just a couple months ago, that really highlighted to me the potential of Cash App and Square. If they could grow that number and grow also the monetization number, then Square can become actually a massive business. I personally think that, yeah, if you can have the personal experience with an app, and that's why I kind of, before I made my video yesterday, I downloaded the app, I deposited some money, I did a couple transactions, etc., trying to use the app a bit, and I'm still using, like today I actually bought $10 worth of Square app in the morning, right? And then later on in the day, I sold it for $10.10, and then I have this warning that, hey, I could be a day trader, so I only have two more day trades I can make till next week or something. So anyways, like I'm using it, yeah, to do certain functions. I'm seeing the pros and the cons, and I'm really wanting to see what regular people think of this, right? What regular people are using it for, and that's going to be crucial. I think that's probably one of the most important things. If you haven't watched the interview that I had Gene Munster, actually last week, it's a great interview, and he shares the importance of actually going to the first consumers, like first customers, right? The developers, the people really into the product, and seeing what their take is. And I'm a big believer in that. I think that's crucial before you get into any company. All right, Robin Verger says, what is your opinion is better, dividend ETFs or normal ETFs? Yeah, I think it all depends on one's kind of risk-reward profile. And I think actually personally, I was thinking this morning, like people shouldn't try to follow me per se with my investment type of choices or philosophies completely, because I'm kind of like a higher risk, higher reward type of investor. And a large part of that is like, I kind of want to see the full potential of what investing could be. And I've already set aside kind of some assets that are income producing that kind of are able to take care of my family's living expenses, right? So even if our investments go to like zero, like, we're fine, like in terms of living expenses and getting by. And so that allows me actually to be a lot more aggressive with investing. And so, yeah, in a lot of ways, it depends, right? I think Warren Buffett was saying that, S&P 500, right? That's the best thing, right? And with the S&P 500 index fund, you do get dividends. It's a bet on the broad market, right? That's if you don't want to pick individual stocks and you don't want a higher kind of risk reward type of profile. Yeji Guo says Square or PayPal. Yeah, you know, I was actually going through PayPal's annual report, or actually their quarterly report and their annual reports actually for the past couple of years. And I was actually surprised. I was kind of like thinking like PayPal is kind of like more of a slower company. You know, look at their website, PayPal. It just like hasn't changed in years. But looking at their annual report, hey, they're growing actually. You know, their quarterly reports, they're growing quarter over quarter, making billions of dollars. This company obviously is doing something right. And so I think to answer that question, Square or PayPal, I would want to go into right the annual report. Square is PayPal is already $150 billion market cap company, right? So you have to really bet that they're going to go even bigger. And you want to look at their execution. Like, are they really doing what they're saying they're going to do, right? So look at both their annual reports, compare them both, right? And see, you know, what kind of excites you about both companies. All right, Matthew says, do you think, as you suggest about Facebook possibly getting into the financial space, do you see synergy with Twitter considering the very intriguing similarities the two companies have? I think Facebook probably has some better kind of... I think they have a broader ecosystem of, you know, more, it just appeals to more people, Facebook. I think they're probably in a stronger situation, right? They have WhatsApp, they've got Instagram, they've got Facebook, they got Messenger, they've got all these groups. They have lots of things for lots of different people. And I think because of that, Facebook can appeal to like almost everyone. I kind of think you need that kind of leverage, right? That scope to use as an advantage in the financial space. So I think, Facebook is way ahead of Twitter if they want to get into financial space. Gerg says, who reports these downloads? Can you see the use of these downloads? Yeah, yesterday I shared my video about Sensor Tower. Go to sensortower.com, hit in the Square app, Square Cash app, and you'll see that they've averaged 2 million downloads per month for March, I think April 2 or something. And so if you look at that, that's about 6 million downloads per quarter. And then Google app Play Store is probably going to be about the same. So we're looking at about 12 million, right, you know, downloads. And out of that, probably over half or so are not going to be actually active users, right? And so you're looking at maybe 5 or 6 million active users, a million. And that's where I came up with the potential 5 million, right, for this quarter. Zero Mod says, what are your thoughts of Virgin Galactic, right? SPCE. And yeah, I just don't understand why people like are into this stock. I keep on getting these questions about Virgin Galactic. And actually, please put in this comment section, why are people, you know, excited about Virgin Galactic? Is it because of like Richard Branson? Is it because of Chamath? Is it because of, you know, the potential of space? I'm just like so curious, like why people are so excited, because in my opinion, like Virgin Galactic, it's a long shot. Like it's like, I put it in the same camp as Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. Virgin Galactic and Bitcoin, right? And it's like, come on, like, I hate to say it to these Bitcoin, you know, fans out there, which I know a lot of you guys are, but like, can you really say that there's a 90% chance that like Bitcoin like really just takes over, right, in the future? I don't know if you can really say that, right? In my opinion, there's a less than 5% chance that Bitcoin really takes a fiat and really goes higher. I would even give it even lower than that. And I think similar to Virgin Galactic, you know, can you really say there's a 90% chance that Virgin Galactic becomes one of the dominant space players out there? And also, I think you have to compete head-to-head with SpaceX. And so the question is like, yeah, does Virgin Galactic, is the potential where Virgin Galactic can compete head-to-head with SpaceX? Like that is the question. And I'm just not convinced with Virgin Galactic. All right. All right, my computer is freezing up, man. It's like I'm burning up here in my recording studios here. It's like 95 degrees outside or something, and I can't run air conditioning while I run these live streams. So anyways, I'm gonna close the live stream today, and I'm not sure if this broke up into two videos or not. If it does, I have to do part one, part two. But anyways, I wanna wish you guys the best. Sorry I wasn't able to take more questions. I hope to come on later this week or next week, and we'll talk about more things. So good luck, and we'll see you guys in my next video. And lastly, go ahead, hit the like button, right? Again, that helps the algorithms, helps spread the video, helps this channel. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, it'll keep you up to date on new videos. Thanks, we'll see you guys.